Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. What would you say is the greatest threat to the Christian faith that you and I face today? Well, how about the rise of extremist forms of Islam? Islamic jihadists present a growing threat of bodily harm to Christians around the world. Islamic extremism is a powerful force in the world today that would like to kill Christians if it could and stop the spread of Christianity if it were given the chance. Or what about the rapid moral decline within our nation and our culture? Christians are increasingly in danger of becoming just as immoral in their thinking and in their behavior as the world in which they live. Temptations to sin abound everywhere, causing more and more Christians to fall away from the faith. And who isn't worried about the godless influence of secularism? Secularists are becoming bolder and bolder in their attempts to silence the church from having a public voice beyond Sunday mornings. So as Christians, I think we can all agree that these are indeed great dangers to Christian faith and life. And we are right to be concerned about them. For each represents a form of opposition to Christ and to Christianity that does make it exceedingly difficult to be and remain a Christian. And yet, as worrisome as these dangers are, they are, after all, only external threats to our Christian faithfulness. The more frightening danger to our Christian walk is found in our own spiritual apathy to the Word of God. For what threatens our living by faith the most are those sins that are stirring all the time within our own dark hearts. But we don't like to talk about this. As a sinner, I can attest to you that I would much prefer to focus on societal sins that are being committed by those outside of the church than I would like to concentrate on those sins that I know are living within me. It's important at times to talk about the sins that are negatively impacting our culture. The danger, however, of talking about such societal sins like we did last week with same-sex marriage is that we can all leave the church feeling a little self-righteous about talking about a sin that others do that we don't do. It is falsely reassuring to discuss sins that we suppose have nothing to do with us. For it is always dangerous to faith when we console ourselves with the thought that we are in some way morally superior to others. No, the far greater danger comes from living unalarmed by our own sins. And the single greatest sin in our lives that literally has the potential of keeping us out of heaven is our own unbelief. The danger that we need to concern ourselves with is found in our daily ambivalence to God and our apathy for His Word. Or more simply put, warning bells should go off in our heads when we find ourselves getting tired of hearing God's Word and when we grow bored with the hope that is held out for us in the gospel. When our Lord sends out the 72, He says that it will go better on the day of judgment for Sodom than for those who hear the word but fail to receive it. Understanding that life affords people with only so many opportunities to hear the word of the Lord, there is an urgency that we hear in Jesus to reach this world of lost sinners who are daily dying in their sins. In order to grow faith in people before the harvest, Jesus delegates. Knowing that there is no time to waste, Jesus gives these instructions to the 72. He says, go on your way. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, and no sandals. In other words, waste no time by gathering provisions for yourself before you begin this mission. For unlike others who spend their entire lifetimes gathering up treasures on earth, the 72 men that Jesus called and sent to proclaim his word were to rely only on the generosity of those who were grateful for them having spoken the word of God to them. Again, to show just how urgent their task was to share the gospel, the 72 were not to take time for customary greetings with other travelers along the way. For Jesus does not want those that he calls to preach his word to involve themselves in the ordinary and the daily affairs of men. But instead, Jesus wanted these 72 to remain on task, to get straight to their mission destination, and then to go from town to town, healing the sick in Jesus' name and proclaiming that the kingdom of God was coming upon all those who heard. Now, what should you and I take from this? Perhaps the greatest single spiritual danger that you and I as Christians face is not to feel this same urgency to hear the word and to share the word of the Lord. There is always this temptation telling us that we can put off repentance, convincing ourselves that there will always be a tomorrow for us to get right with God. But those who think they can afford to wait to get serious about repentance are playing some kind of spiritual form of Russian roulette. You are really testing God. You are really taking your chances if you put off until tomorrow what the Lord is calling you to believe today. Underscoring this urgency, these 72 missionaries were not to waste valuable time staying with those who obviously were resisting God's word or rejecting the word of the Lord. But Jesus instructs them that they are to promptly wipe even the dust from their sandals of any town that does not receive them as a sign of judgment against them. For although these towns in Israel were offered life by hearing the word of the Lord proclaimed, instead, many who heard the word chose death. The inhabitants of these towns chose death because they either ignored or rejected the Lord's gracious offer to save them through Jesus. Often it happens that people are overjoyed at first when they hear about the forgiving, redeeming gospel of Jesus Christ. But over time, a kind of apathy does set in. And these very same hearers begin to take for granted the undeserved love of God that they receive through faith in Jesus. My friends, this can happen to any Christian. It can happen to whole congregations when they become unappreciative of the life-giving, life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Sin can so harden hearts that those who were once very fervent in their faith can begin to become unmoved by the gospel, uninterested in the word that is being proclaimed to them. What this does is it pushes away the Holy Spirit, who then moves on to some other place where hearts can still be made receptive to God's word with the good news about Jesus. I sometimes fear that the lukewarm reception that most Americans seem to have for the word of the Lord, along with the growing disinterest in the message of the cross, will cause the Lord to move on as an act of judgment against our nation. And how sad this will be if it ever happens. For we were once a nation conceived in liberty in such a way that it caused the message of the gospel to have free course and to be preached and to flourish among us. We see it in the sending out of the 72. Jesus did not want the 72 to linger in towns that were unreceptive to the message, nor did he want them to linger in homes that were unsupportive of the Lord's messengers. For Jesus knew that the mission field is far too large and the harvest is far too near to waste either the time or the energy on those who clearly are not listening. Jesus says to the 72, "The one who hears you hears me." That, my friends, is fundamental to the understanding of the way the Lord works. For those whom the Lord calls and sends to us as ministers of the gospel, although they are but men, are nevertheless spokesmen for the Lord. They speak for the Lord. St. Paul makes this point to those Christians who were living in Thessalonica when he says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God which is at work in you believers." You see, when Jesus appoints the 72 to go out, he gives them his full spiritual authority to preach the word in his stead and by his command. This happens in such a way that the 72 return overflowing with joy and saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Now, if you or I had been choosing, we might have selected the glorious angels to proclaim the gospel. We might have assumed they were better suited to present the message of the cross to mankind. And yet for the Lord, for his own reasons, chose weak, sinful, mortal men to carry his life-giving word to the world. The Lord, after all, came to earth in a very humble human way as a baby born in Bethlehem, in which his glory was completely hidden. And in the same way, the Bible that imparts forgiveness and brings you eternal life, well, on the surface looks like any other book that has words and pages. So it really shouldn't surprise us that the Lord chose men who are mere vessels of clay, to carry his word to the world. But many of Jesus' own neighbors got tripped up by his humanity, Remember how the neighbor scoffed at Jesus, saying, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? How can he possibly be the Christ of God?" In the same way, my friends in Christ, you must be careful not to stumble over the humanity of your pastors. The 72 were among those first who were called to the office of the public ministry. Jesus established the office of pastor, saying, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you is rejecting me." Pastors, over the years, I can't tell you how many times people have said to me after I made some doctrinal assertion based on the Bible, they'll say, "Well, that's only your opinion, Pastor." And I agree, pastors do have opinions, and I have plenty of them, and like you, sometimes my opinions are wrong. But when I proclaim the Word of God to you, do not be so quick to dismiss what I have to say as if it were my opinion. And the same goes for Pastor Kathimer. Listen to us, and you will hear Christ speaking the word through your pastors. St. Paul, speaking of giving absolution to a man, once said, "When I forgave him anything, I was forgiving it in the person of Christ." That is, in the place of Christ. And so when pastors address us through the divine paradox of law and gospel, we need to hear their warnings and their comfort as if Christ, our dear Lord, was speaking himself. When our four children attended Concordia University up in River Forest, it's now called Concordia University Chicago, we drove up there a lot. And on the way, we would always pass this billboard on the highway that always amused me. It was put up there by a Catholic seminary. It was geared towards men who were contemplating going into the priesthood, but were waiting on some sign from God. And it said, "Looking for a sign from God? Consider this it." It was very clever. For many people superstitiously look for some sign from God that they are to become a priest. Of course, they were looking for a different kind of sign from God. They were looking for a supernatural sign, not an ordinary sign like a billboard. But this illustrates something every Christian needs to consider. My friends, in all probability, God is not going to drop down from heaven and give you such a sign. Mainly because the Lord wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. And while you might prefer that God communicated to you in some really cool way, God reveals himself to us in seemingly ordinary ways through what looks like an ordinary book brought to us by ordinary men. Failing to recognize that God chooses to speak to us through these men that he sends to us is the greatest danger that any Christian faces. For if we reject the messengers that God sends to proclaim his word to us, then we will also more than likely reject the message that God has sent them to share. Conversely, the greatest blessing that can come to anyone is to realize how God's kingdom comes to you. It comes through those whom God has sent to proclaim his word. For by the word of the Lord that they speak, God justifies you, God forgives you, God redeems you, And God saves all those who believe in Jesus and belong to him in the waters of holy baptism. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes our limited understanding, guard and keep your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.